Today, I'm going to deal with a problem that a lot of people have and a lot of Christians have. And at the end, we will have our Lord's Supper. I want to deal with the guiltless concept, how to have claiming our inheritance in Jesus Christ, delivered from the bondage of identities. Now, some of you might wonder, what is that all about? I find that there are more Christians who identify themselves with a sin than they do with Jesus Christ. And whenever you identify yourself with a sin, then you taking on that nature as your nature rather than identifying with Christ as your nature. I believe that too many Christians walk around with such guilt and such loaded guilt that they almost can't deal with it. Or they try to ignore it, but it burdens them down. I want you to know that the scripture this morning that I'll be dealing with and we'll be looking at is found in Romans, if you want to turn there. Before I begin with the scripture, I want us to think about two disciples. One is named Peter. One is named Judas. What do we know about Peter? He was called a rock, right? Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter, on this rock, on this testimony, on this faith. Was Peter perfect? He messed up big time. He denied the Lord when it was, and the whole world knows about it. It wasn't hidden in a private place. I mean, he did it in front of people at the very trial of Jesus. Judas, what was his sin, greatest sin? He sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So we have two disciples that did some pretty bad things in the last days of Jesus. But we have two different outcomes. One outcome was that Peter got on his knees before the Lord and pleaded, and finally when Jesus came, he was liberated in Jesus' presence. And Jesus became a bold disciple. Did Peter live his life from then on as the one who denied Jesus? Or did he live a different existence? He lived boldly as a testimony of Jesus Christ, as the leader of the church of Jerusalem, as one of the greatest disciples that's ever lived. That's what he lived. On the other hand, we find Judas, who got caught up in such remorse and such sadness and such guilt. What happened to Judas? He committed suicide. Both of these were followers of Christ. One began to walk with Jesus and became bolder and did not walk in their sins, or walk in their misgivings, or walk in their weakness. They walked in the strength of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to share a message with you this morning that I think is very important, because too many Christians are like Judas. They walk in their weakness. They walk in their guilt. They walk in the things that they place where they made their mistakes, rather than walking in the strength and the identification in Jesus Christ. I want us to look at this scripture. Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. And if you have your Bibles, if you will, turn with me there. It is up here, but it's
good if you can look at it in the scriptures. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. I don't know why I do this one. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor does it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not live or does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body you live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you may live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer in share in his sufferings in order that we might share in his glory. Excuse me. Now, I want you to share with me in the scripture and think about this. Man is a sinner and deals with the guilt of that all the time. All of us feel inadequate. All of us feel like I am not worthy. I shouldn't even be here. I have done some terrible things. I've thought some terrible things. I have said some terrible things. And so man has what they call religion to take care of that guilt. Now, I want to just go through this with you a minute. There is one religion that says we are not guilty. We are who we are because God made us this way, and he wants to live it out. Our problem is our guilt, which is unwarranted. Avatars such as Jesus came to just teach us how to overcome our guilt and acceptance. I was sitting there listening to this one. I went online to listen to several of the theologies of different religions. And that one's a new one, a new age sort of stuff. And I was sitting there going, an avatar. Jesus was an avatar. And I, wow, that's interesting. All we've got to do is say, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty, I'm not guilty, and it'll go away. See, that's the way we deal with it. Number two, there's another religion that tells that you are all spirit and that the flesh is a deception. You must only come to a greater knowledge of your true self, and the guilt of the fleshly sin will fall away. Because it doesn't really exist anyway, which means you can do anything you want to do with the flesh just as long as you keep the Spirit going, because the Spirit's what's really real, the flesh is not. So none of the sins you're doing is really real. That's called Gnosticism, or there are some new age things that go along with it. Another is that another doesn't have the linear view of life. It has the cylindrical view of life. Now, most of us have, in the Christian world, think in this, and most of people in America think of in a linear view. In India, in some of the Middle Eastern countries, they have the cylindrical view of life, meaning circle. We believe that there was a beginning of time and there will be an end of time. That's called linear, straight line. We're all going towards something. In the Hindu belief and some others, Buddhist, it's a cylindrical, which means we're all in the process of going around and around and around and around. We're not going anywhere. We're just, some of us are getting better and we finally will get to nirvana. And we're all working towards that end. And so, therefore, the only thing you have to worry about with guilt is that it leads you to the right God. And how they choose the right God is amazing to me, because they have 30,000. I don't have time to look up all those gods. I don't know about you, but I don't. 30,000 gods. And they find the right one. As a matter of fact, we've been to visit several Indian families that are Hindu. We've had some Hindu families visit in our church. And I ask them, so what's your God? And they will tell me. And I'll say, so how did you choose that God? Well, that God just made himself known to me. Well, how is that? Well, I have this sin, and that's the God of that sin. Okay? So, guilt drives them to their God, who relieves them of their guilt. Another is man's denial of God altogether. If I just don't believe in God, then that's how I deal with my guilt. I don't have anything to be guilty of, because there is no God. I'm my own God. Another is agnosticism, which says we cannot know whether there's a God or not, so how can we know if there's a sin or not? And if there's no sin, why should we be guilty? We can't know it. So I just say, well, I didn't know it. If there is a God, I get to heaven and say, I didn't know there was a God. Another is religion of man that seeks God's answers, and this they go to God and they say, God, but what is your way? How do you lead us? And this God began to give prophets who said, this is what I say. And these prophets then led to the Jesus who came, who was a savior of the world, who took all the shame and the guilt on himself, that we bear it not, as the scripture we just read. We're not supposed to bear our sin, shame, and guilt. We're supposed to give it to Christ. We do what we call repentance, and we come before God, and we turn it over to him and say, I can't deal with this. And God cleanses us from all unrighteousness, according to the scriptures. And that's where we stand. Not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As we read the scripture, it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You have been set free from the law of sin and death. Set free from what? Set free from the bonds of it, the slavery to it, and the identification in it. One of the things that's big today is all you need to do is say, this is how I was born, and this is who I am, and then it's okay. However, there's a lot of problems with that, because I would agree with you on that. We are born into sin. We are born with things that are in our flesh that gives us desires to be a certain way. But then God has given us clearly in his word what he expects of us, and how he operates, and why we were brought here, and what he expects of us. It's all right here in the Word of God. And then Jesus came to live it out. But we are not to live according to the flesh, where we have our minds set on fleshly desires, but we are to live in accordance with the Spirit and have our minds set on the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Notice that. But it is life and peace. What does that mean there? And I think the peace being on the end of that is very important. We are not to walk around as Judas with this great pile of guilt covering, weighing us down. Do you know how many suicides there are a year now? I don't either, but it's tripled. I understand it's tripled in the past 10 years. Why are so many people committing suicide? Because the guilt, they can't deal with it. Or they feel like there's no way out of my situation. And in that, they commit suicide. I want you to understand that this is a place, a Judas place, where God does not want us to live. He wants us to live in peace. Now, what is this peace that he wants us to live in? Peace does not have guilt with it. You cannot have guilt and have peace at the same time. They don't operate that way. He wants you to walk around in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, not your own righteousness. And if you live in his righteousness and in the righteousness of the Spirit of God that has been put within you, then you walk around guiltless. You say, how can I do that when I'm guilty? Because Christ took all the sins that you have and he bore them on the cross and he died for your sins. And in that we walk around in Christ Jesus' righteousness. How else could Peter stand before thousands of people shortly after Pentecost and lead thousands to Christ Jesus and preach boldly Jesus Christ? I'm a minister. I stand before you. And what's interesting is you will hear some ministers, they will never tell you they're sinners. They will never tell you they've had failures. I'm the first to tell you I have had failures. Why are you up there? Because I don't live in my own past. I live in the future in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I stand in his grace and in his mercy. And I stand boldly to tell you that's the only place that you need to be standing. Do not let Satan give you an identity and lock you into it. There are some people that they go through their lives saying, well, I'm just an adulterer. Or I'm just a homosexual. Or I'm just a drug addict. Or I'm just an alcoholic. I'm just a liar. I'm just a cheat. I'm just a thief. We are not to walk around claiming our sin nature. We are to walk around claiming our spiritual nature in Christ Jesus our Lord. There were two disciples. One was Peter and one was Judas. I would that you would be a Peter this morning. You have been liberated. You are no longer your old self. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 2:20. Paul teaches us what we are, how we to live. Paul says this: I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is one of the hardest things for Christians to learn how to do, is to live in Christ Jesus. How do I live in Christ Jesus? How do I walk in his righteousness and not in my sin? That is one of the hardest things for Christians to do. And let me just say this. Have you accepted Christ's forgiveness?
because that's the real key. God has forgiven you. You can't accept that. Why can't you accept that? That is what we're called to do, to accept God's mercy and his love. And when we accept it, we walk in peace because we are no longer that anymore. We are righteousness in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want you to know that I was a young minister and I was going to the Ukraine, my homeland, to do a mission. We had it all planned out. On Sunday, we were going to have baptism. We would get there on Saturday evening, and on Sunday afternoon, we would have this big baptism in the river. Dozens would be baptized in the river there in the Ukraine, in Lviv. And I was looking forward to, all excited. And then the rest of the week, we'll be witnessing and leading people to Jesus and also having Bible studies and building churches and stuff. We had it all planned out. I was in Charlotte to catch the plane and was waiting for the plane to come in. And this was pre my living here in Durham, by the way. That's why I didn't go to RDU. But we were catching the plane and we decided to go get some breakfast at the Pancake House. And so here we go to the Pancake House. And I said, I'm going to call my two daughters before I leave. They were young then. And I got ready to call them, and I said, Lake, how are you doing? She screamed in the phone, Daddy, he's dead. I said, excuse me? He's dead, Daddy, he's dead, Daddy, he's dead. I said, who's dead? Guy's dead, guy's dead. I said, what guy? She said, Guy, my boyfriend, he's dead. Your boyfriend's dead? He went jogging early this morning before light, and they found him on the side of the road dead. They tried to revive him, but he couldn't revive him. I said, where's your mother? And they said, she's coming. She's going to be with me in a few minutes. She's at work. I'm sitting there going, what am I going to do? And I said, okay, when your mother gets there, have her call me. Anyway, we're sitting there and we're going through it. And I'm going, I don't know how I can deal with this. I don't know what to do. I'm going to try my best to understand what's going on, but I can't go to the Ukraine. So I decided I'm not going to the Ukraine. I had my plane ticket there, and I had people. Actually, I was a leader, one of the leaders going to the Ukraine. I don't know what I'm going to do. So then I called my dad. And I said, Dad, this is the situation. I went through it. He was always my confidant. And I said, Dad, I can't go to the Ukraine. How can I go to the Ukraine when I've got my daughter just had a boyfriend die? My dad asked me a dozen questions. One of them was, are they engaged? Are they serious? I said, I don't think they are, and I know they're not engaged. Well, this and that. And he said, do you think God called you to go to the Ukraine? And I said, yes. He said, all through the process, did you say, God, is this your will? And I said, yes. And he said, then God will take care of it. Trust God. And we will go see your daughter, and we will take care of your daughter here. I said, okay. Well, I still was torn up. I got on the plane, and as it got ready to take off, I was going, I didn't even get to talk to my daughter again. I don't know. Have you ever been so torn up that you couldn't even think about anything in your mind? And usually when I'm taking off an airplane, I'm concerned about the airplane. I wasn't even thinking about airplane, and it was taking off. What are we going to do? God. And I kept saying, God, how can this? And as we went through the clouds, I had this scripture before me. And I was reading this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. We read 1 through 17, but I was reading 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us.
For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not on its own, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And I read that, and God said, I got it. Trust me. I've got it. Trust me. And as I came, we came out of the clouds and we exited into the bright sunlight and the brilliant, beautiful sky. God said, I've got it. And there was a hymn I was listening to in the with earphones, and it got to the part that we will see him in the sky. And I just, tears were flowing, and I was just overwhelmed. Well, we got into the air, and there was a storm near Chicago where we were going, so they had to take us up around the Great Lakes and come around from the backside. It made us an hour and a half late when we arrived. We only had 15 minutes before the plane was to take off. Because we had that happen, we missed our plane. Now, it's an overseas plane, and as most of you know, you miss an overseas plane, they don't have one real quick going over. As a matter of fact, we had to wait till the next evening before we left, which was a day and a half later. And we got in the plane and went. In Chicago, we were able to walk around, and I was able to call. Being over, God extended the time so I could keep calling my daughter. Overseas, I didn't have a cell phone that went overseas. Back then, you didn't have. I had a cell phone, but it didn't work overseas. And so I couldn't call. And I was calling my daughter a couple of times to make sure everything was, and she was resting now, and she was much better. When I got to, we got to Warsaw, Poland, our first stop there, they said, because we're a day late, there's not another plane coming till Sunday evening. So you've got Saturday afternoon and all day Sunday pretty much to be here in Warsaw, Poland. So I said, I went in my room and I said, God, I can't go to this. I can't go to the Ukraine. I can't. You want me to go there and you want me to take care of all these children? I am not capable of going and taking care of children. I don't even know if I have a gospel message on my heart. I don't know that I can preach there. I am broken right now. I am a broken man. I can't do this. God, where are you? And we had worship in the park in Warsaw, middle of Warsaw, Poland. All of our team went there and we had a worship. At the end of the worship, there was a sound of a band. And I'm going, wow, that was appropriate. We have a band as the benediction. But I looked up and there was a band marching down the street. I didn't know it at the time, but we were right at the beginning of a parade for their Liberation Day in Poland. And so we got to watch a whole parade go by. We stayed there till Sunday evening, and then we caught our plane out. And God took me back to this scripture, and this is what he said. I don't need you. I don't need your preaching. I don't need your ability. I don't need your righteousness. I don't need your goodness. I don't need anything you have. I just need your willingness to be faithful and do what I say do. Because I had sat there and said, God, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't do. God said, I don't need that anyway. While we were there in the Ukraine, we witnessed to and ministered to dozens of children. We showed a movie on Thursday evening at the local community center. And gave an invitation for kids to come and receive Jesus. 225 came to accept Jesus Christ that night. We had had Bible study each day out in the park at what they called the stadium, which was nothing but a cow pasture with You had to watch the dung all over the field, and they called it a stadium. It was a soccer field, cow pasture. 200 came to accept Jesus Christ. And as I walked, I was going, wow. And my preaching was junk, was nothing, was pitiful. But God didn't care about that. He just wanted someone who trusted God. And you see, the suffering brought me to my knees. The suffering brought me to his presence. And he said, you must walk in me, not in your righteousness. You must trust me, not your own abilities. The last day, Friday, we were getting ready to leave, and there was a lady there who came to talk to me. Well, I don't know Ukrainian that well, so she was talking. And you know, people from another country, they talk real fast. You can't understand because they're going, la, 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 la. And I looked at the interpreter. I said, what did she just say? And she said, we're so thankful you came. For the first time, we feel the glory of God in the streets of Tochinovichi. And the man came over and he said, ah, something. And I said, what did he say? For the first time, we see the glory of God in our children's eyes. I said, that's the answer. You see, God had to get me out of the way so that he could produce his glory in me. Again, when we read the scripture this morning, it said this, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not on its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. That is what creation is looking for. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. God doesn't want us to be good, because your righteousness is filthy rags, according to Paul. God doesn't want us to be holy. God doesn't want us to be religious. He wants us to be subjected to the perfect will of the living God, to walk in Christ Jesus our Lord, to stand in him in a guiltless manner, not trying to be our own righteousness. And you know, one of the worst things in the church today is those people who walk around self-righteous, pointing fingers at other people. It kills the church. Who do you think you are to get somebody else straight or talk about their sin? This cannot be in the church, because that's not what he's called us to do or to be. He's called us to recognize that we are sinners, but we are righteousness in Christ Jesus our Lord when we stand in him. And we claim the righteousness of Jesus, not our sin. We don't walk in guilt. We don't walk in sin. We don't claim the sin. We don't claim the guilt. We claim righteousness in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in that is where he's called each one of us to live, to walk. And you know what? Last night, I had my last party with Cast, and as we were sitting there, before we went, I said, you know, there's this lady that thinks I didn't do it right the whole time I was there, and thinks I should have done it her way, And my wife says, so what do you think? And I said, I'm confident in what I did, and I don't care what she thinks. But that's what Jesus wants us to walk every day, confident in his grace. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what they think about me. I'm walking Christ Jesus' righteousness.
I'm not walking in my own righteousness. I'm not walking in my guilt. I'm not walking in my sin. And for any minister, anyone to walk in sin, to walk in the guilt of the sin, is not where Christ wants us to walk. And when we get to the word to where he wants the glory revealed in us, what is that talking about? His glory, not ours. And the only way for his glory to be revealed in us is for us to get out of the way. You see, that long trip that I took, it took forever, going to Chicago for a day and then going up to all the way up into Canada. Actually, we went up there. And then we come back down and we go over to Warsaw, Poland, spend 2 days in Poland. And then we finally get there. I was dropping off me the whole way. You see, where God wants me when he can use me is when I get to the point that in my life I am leaving my sins and my guilt and my body, and I do not claim that any longer. Are you claiming your righteousness in Christ Jesus, or are you claiming